And if the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, set you free, you are free indeed. Well, how many are really free? It's the question today we have to ask ourselves. By the grace of God, we are going to speak on a topic I believe will bless you guys. It's going to be like a teaching message that I'll try to keep to the time. I don't take too much of the time. But however, today we are going to talk about freedom from captivity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Freedom from captivity. We just sang a song that said, Jesus Christ set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bands of prisons for me. I am glory bound with Jesus Christ, my Savior. Glory to God. He set me free. But are there Christians in captivity today? Yes. Are there Christians that are bound? Yes. Are there Christians that are still in spiritual prison? Yes. In the household of God. But God has set us free. But we are not yet free as we should be. Therefore, we have limitations. Therefore, we have problems. Because the freedom that Jesus Christ has given you has not taken full effect in your life. Therefore, even though you are a Christian, proclaiming to be a Christian, and standing firm by grace. I'm not saying you are not a Christian, but I'm just saying that there are some Christians. Unfortunately, most Christians are still in captivity. They are not yet free. But this is not the will of God for me and you. Jesus Christ, his main purpose, his main plan is to set us free. And I'm going to use the scripture this morning to explain a little on those things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let me quickly define captivity. Captivity is a state of being captured, imprisoned, detained, or held against one's will. That is what captivity is. Captivity is a state of being captured, imprisoned, detained, or held against your own will. In captivity, one will be bound, limited. You are shackled. You are tormented. You are oppressed at the will of your tormentors. They do whatever you want. They want with you. This is contrary because you are born to be free. You know, if God wanted to bind us, to make us know, he gave us free will. He gave us free will to choose. Say, choose today whom you shall follow. Whether you will serve God or serve the enemy. He gave us that freedom. God could have bound us and say, you must do this and program us to be so. No, but he set us free. Set us free from every yoke. If you do not watch, you can be taken captive by the world, or the flesh, or the devil. These are the three areas where captivity comes to be. And you'll be surprised today how this thing has affected many of us. As I say, this is contrary. The truth is what set us free. But let me tell you, the truth you do not know doesn't do you any good. It is the truth that you know that shall set you free. The truth can be floating around here. The truth can be hanging on your head. You can sleep with the truth. You can eat the truth. You can dance with the truth. But until you know the truth, and you believe the truth, and you receive the truth into your life, that truth cannot set you free. That is why when Jesus said, I set them free. I came to set them free. And actually he set us free. But many of us are still bound, under yoke, under bondage, both by the flesh, both by the world, and by the devil. And we are Christians. Let us quickly go to Isaiah chapter 61. Why did Jesus come? As I say, it's going to be a form of teaching message. And I pray you pay attention, because God is be setting somebody free here today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because it is the truth that you know that will set you free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isaiah 61 verse 1, please. Isaiah 61 verse 1. This is why Jesus came. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. Remember the message I preached one time. It is the anointing that breaks every yoke. God specifically anointed Jesus Christ to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to them that are captive. Liberty, freedom for those who are captive. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is verse 2. Captivity could be physical or spiritual. It could be the flesh that is holding you captive. It could be the world that is holding you captive. And it could be the devil that is holding you captive. All these things are interchangeable. They all work together. Recently we heard of people that are in captive. It was an agony for me to hear it over the news. Young women were kidnapped in the midst of a very busy neighborhood, in a house. And I remember how the houses are here. You just walk a few feet away, there is another house on this side, and you walk a few feet away, and there is another house on this side. I do architectural design, so usually in most places it's 10-3. That is 10-3 feet to the next neighbor, and 10 feet on the other side to the next neighbor, just about this distance. But these women were held in captivity in a house in the United States where there is phone, where there is every kind of gadget, for 10 years or 20, I don't know how many years, over 10 years or something like that. They were held in captivity. Not one person, not two person, not three person, but they were held in captivity. And I start to wonder, how can this be in America? How can one person hold them captive for all these years? And they couldn't get across to anybody. The meter man comes to check the meter from time to time. The phone is in the house. People visit even the house they were in. And nobody knows of it. And they want to be set free. But they were not free. They were under captivity. The person who took them captive tortured them, raped them, beat them, did everything he wants with them, just like we said in our definition of captivity. Whoever is your tormentor can do whatever he wants with you. And I will tell you why it is possible as we go along in this message. Start putting yourself, or start putting the body of Christians today, to the same dimension, to the same situation, that somebody can be held captive in this America for 10 years. And they are 4 feet away from freedom. But they couldn't access that freedom. Why is it possible? One, the person who took them captive has subjected them to the point whereby they are hopeless. Some even stop fighting to be free. Some even at a point become a captivity syndrome. They start living the life of a captive. They do not struggle again to be free. Or the person who took them captive, they have so much tormented and put fear into them that they do not know again what to do about themselves. And so they are in captivity for a very long time. This is yet in America. We hear of soldiers, military, people who are trained, strong, exercise every day, lift weight, do everything, shoot gun. But when they are taken captive, 2 years, 3 years down the line, you see the same person who was taken captive, who was used to be strong, broken. Broken to the point that he become like a wimpy kid, crying, confused, tormented, no more himself. And so the tormentors will now say or do whatever they want with such person. They will at times tell them, write something against the United States. Write something against your country. Say it out in the open. They will do because they have been subjected to the point whereby their mind cannot sustain it again. And so they become broken. That is what a Christian who is bound, who is under yoke, who is under captivity is. Now, when we say captivity of the body, of the mind, of the flesh, or the spirit, captivity can come in different forms. Some are captive to their fear. Some are captive to different things. Money. Money can take you captive. Your own pride can take you captive. It can be captivity for, you become captive to a drunk, become drunk, a drug addicted. I've seen many who are captive to this spirit. Just a few weeks ago, I prayed for a man who later passed away. And I asked the history of this man. Came to this country looking for a better life. Was taken captive by drug. He was in drug until he destroyed his liver, his body and so on, just tormented, and he died from, I don't know, the disease. That is captivity. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't get himself out of it. It will take the anointing to break the yoke. So my captivity to pornography. So my captivity to bitterness, to hatred. So my captivity of different things. These are the different kinds of captivity that you can start to see among Christians. I've counseled some people who say, I cannot forgive this situation. I cannot let it go. I cannot let it go. That is captivity. There are different forms of captivity. But today, we are talking about the spiritual captivity that Satan brings. How can a Christian be taken captive? Spiritual captivity, which is captivity of the body, mind, and even your soul, is satanic captivity. This happens when you or God, now remember that word because we're going to explain it, when you or God allows the hedge to be removed. I said, captivity happens to Christians when you or God allows the hedge to be removed. Let's look at Job chapter 1 verse 9 before I explain that point. Job chapter 1 verse 9. Do I have it in this scene? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he had on every side? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance increased in the land. A hedge around about him. What is a hedge? A hedge is a fence, an enclosure, a protective surrounding that even here we have gate and we have hedge, gate, block walls or whatever. The Christian, when you become a Christian, God, knowing that there is a war that will be going on from that time until the day you come to meet the Lord, put a hedge around you, even at your birth. Even when you are immediately you are born. If God doesn't do that, Satan will swallow you overnight. If there is no hedge around you, if there is no protection from God, Satan will destroy you this instant. So immediately you become a child of God and you throw yourself under the mercy and the grace of God, he puts a hedge around you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That hedge It's like a wall of fire. Some of us call it a pillar of fire. I remember a time I would take a picture and I see a wall of fire around me. I have some of those pictures in my house. I see myself, they take a picture and I see myself standing in the midst of fire. I know what it's called. The Bible calls it the Shekinah glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a protective wall of fire that is around anybody that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Satan decided to torment Job. And God said, what are you doing here? He said, does Job serve you for nothing? You have put a hedge around him. Has thou not made a hedge about him? About his house, about your business, about your car, about everything you have, there is a protective wall of fire that goes around it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God can remove that hedge. You can remove that hedge, and the way you can remove that hedge is by sin. That is what removes the hedge. When sin is there and it's unconfessed and unrepentant, that is an opening. And you say, how do you know this, Emmanuel? I will read from the scriptures as we go along. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, chapter 10, verse 8. We're coming back to this point later on. As I say, it's a form of teaching, please. So bear with me. Ecclesiastes 10, 8. Are you there? Now, listen to what I said. I say, that hedge is protective fire around you. Nothing can touch you if you are within that circle of protection of the Lord. But look at what the scripture says. He that diggeth a pit shall what? Fall into it. And whosoever breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. When that hedge is broken, then there is no defense. Then the offense of the enemy can prosper against you, against your children, against your resources, against your plans, against your dreams, against your hope. Aspirations when the hedge is removed. A Christian that walks around without a hedge is like a little chicken that runs around where there is wolves and lions ready to devour him or the chicken anytime. That's exactly what you are. When we move around and we do not have the hedge upon ourselves, upon our family, upon our business, upon our... Then things just... Satan just plays ping pong with you. Due to sin, fear, bitterness, unforgiveness, sin of different types like drugs, pornography, adultery, fornication, greed, disobedience to God, we can name all of them. These things are... What when you allow it as a Christian, it breaks the hedge of protection. There was even a time that hedge went away from Jesus. Just for a second. When the sin of the whole world, because God cannot look at sin, he cried, Father, Father, why have you forsaken him? God has never forsaken him. But when the sin of the whole world was upon Jesus, God had to turn his back away from him just for a moment. May God never turn his back on any of us in Jesus' name. Amen. May God never turn his back on any of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we have an enemy that is waiting. He says, like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. Waiting, crouching, waiting for that gate to open. If for any reason that gate open, quickly close it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Confess and go back to the Lord and repent. So that the enemy will not have a field day with you. Now, we talk of captivity. When the mind is captive, One of the things you see in captivity is fear. More than any other thing is fear. So people, when you are afraid, you open the gate for captivity to set in. Let somebody open to us Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15. We're coming to a point in all this thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. I'm trying to bring to you across what fear does to a man. Have people that I know, I've associated with. The particular fear they have is fear of their life. Somebody is going to kill me. Somebody is going to harm me. Somebody is going to do this to me. So constantly they are afraid of their life. My enemy is out to get me. They are planning against me. So this particular one of them that I know, every resources he has, the money he makes, he run into what they call this voodoo doctor for protection. Every day he's fearing. If a bird fly over his car, he goes to them for protection and say, that is an omen, an evil omen. If the sun shadow goes somewhere across his house, that is an evil omen. If anything happened that is just not to his liking, or even anything at all, he runs to them and say, and so they continue to take their resources. They continue to take whatever they have and continue to give them false protection. True protection is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago, and as I was talking to the person over the phone, I started hearing, back to sender, back to sender, back to sender, back to sender. I said, what are you talking back to sender? What's going on with you? He said, they're after me again. I said, what is after you? He said that there's a particular board that comes to hoot in the morning, early in the morning, across the window. And that is what he's saying back to sender. I say, for real, may God have mercy on us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this person is a Christian. Fear. If I have the hedge, the protection of the Lord, I don't care what the dart of the enemy will throw on me. I know I am under protection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What can man do unto me if God is with me? Says the scriptures. I don't have to tell you back to sender. It's automatic. As you are sending it, it's going back to you in Jesus' name. I don't even have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to lose my sleep about it. It is automatic. He said, this is their heritage, says the Lord. Say, every weapon that is fashioned against you, they shall not prosper. For this is the heritage. Heritage is that my son is entitled to my resources. If I give it to him. God has given us to him his resources. This is our heritage. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So back to what we are saying. Fear will generate demonic interest on you. Remember that. When you remain in fear, fear will generate demonic interest on you and your fears. Have you ever seen people who are afraid of one sickness or the other? Have you ever seen people who are afraid of my child going the wrong way and they become so tormented in that fear? Have you ever seen people who are afraid of my husband will maybe do this on me or my wife will do that? Somehow, if you continue in that fear will come back to you. And I'll use Job as an example. Later on as we discuss, he said that what I greatly feared came unto me. So I said here, fear brings torment. Fear brings depression, oppression. Job 3:35. Fear will generate demonic interest on you. Where there is a stench, where there is a stinking something, you see the flies congregate there. That is what demons does when there is fear. They come there, it brings them in. Where there is a dead body, you see carcass like vulture, they come there. That is what, in form of fear, where there is fear, this demonic influence flocks there. That is why God is always saying us, fear not, blessed be the name of the Lord. Everywhere on the Bible you turn around, it says, sent to you, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the word of God to you this morning. Christian in captivity. Freedom from captivity is what we are talking about. Now we said that when somebody is in captivity, the enemy can do whatever they want with that person. We do not need to repeat all of them, but we pointed some things that the enemy, there's no limit to what he cannot do. And we are pointing out that one of the things that makes people to go into captivity is when the hedge is broken. When sin has intruded and the protection that you have in Christ Jesus is no more there. And we say that fear is a torment. Fear is captivity. Sin is captivity. Unforgiveness is captivity. Bitterness against one another is captivity. You can go on and name them. I say drug addict is captivity. When the enemy put a burden on you and you cannot offload it, it's captivity. You are in bondage. When you cannot go to bed and sleep in the night, it's captivity. When you live your day like it's in darkness, it's in captivity. When your day should be day but it's night, it's captivity. When your life is not your own, under Christ Jesus, it is captivity. But this is why Christ Jesus came, to deliver us from the bondage of sin. I say, how do we get out of captivity? If you know that you are captive, the worst thing you can do is to become at ease in Zion, as the saying goes. Captivity syndrome has captured so many Christians, they don't even know what captivity means again. They don't evaluate their life to see where they are in Christ Jesus. They don't see sin, or they don't see failure, they don't see where they are wrong to make corrections. They become at ease. They become so domesticated by this spirit that they don't even know the difference between freedom and captivity again. But we come to church and sing praise to God. We come to church and shout hallelujah. We speak in tongues and do all this stuff that Christian does, but we are in captivity of the enemy. It is time to set yourself free in Jesus' name. Amen. It is time to set yourself free in the name of Jesus. One of the Job, using him as an example in this our discussion as we continue, Job, if you don't know what happened in his case, he was living in fear. That was Job 3:25. Let's quickly read that place. Job 3:25. I'll read it quickly because I wasn't planning to read that before. Job 3:25, he says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me." By all standard, he was a Christian. He has this, does sacrifices, he does everything, he prays, he's a righteous man in his day. But he was afraid of the behavior of his own children. They are not yet born again. And he was living in fear of what will happen to them. It is true that God made a boast with him, and we're not going to go into detail, but what brought about those things? He himself confessed, "What I greatly feared has happened unto me." That's what I'm saying. Christians who live in fear are under captivity. And then we said here, how do we get out of this captivity? Job 42 verse 10. In terms of Job. Job 42:10. Anybody? Is it there anybody? Okay. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much he had before. Did you hear what the Bible said here? The only time that God is able to restore or deliver Job out of captivity is when he has prayed for his friends. What are these his friends? His friends was actually tormentors. Go read from Job chapter 1 to the end of Job. These men wouldn't allow him to even die in peace. First and foremost was his own wife. The wife that under prosperity they lived together. Under prosperity they enjoyed together. They had a wonderful life. Job, by all standards, was a multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire in his days. Things was going great. Things was going good. But Job was under fear. And so Satan came to hang around. And God said, are you after? What brought Satan first and foremost was that there is a fear. But when Satan came, God then made a boast and said, are you now after my servant Job? There is none like him under the face of the whole earth. Then Satan said, yeah. Does he fear you for nothing? You have made a hedge around him, a wall of protection that I cannot penetrate. And so God gave him freedom. That's why I say two people or two things that can remove the hedge around you is you by sin or God by allowing your faith to be tried. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now Job now have to suffer. The first thing is that his children died. The money in the bank went away. The multi-million dollar he saved, just something happened, they went away. The cattle, this one, the bad news was coming in sequence. It was coming like a tide. This one comes, that, and then he threw himself on the ground and said, Lord, into your hand I commit all this stuff. But one of the closest friends of his life, the wife, said to him, curse God and die. But they were friends when the going is good. Now it's time for you to just go. You are useless. Then three friends of Job came. Eliphaz was one of them. Lehum and the other one. They continued tormenting him. Continued pointing out his evil. Continued pointing out his way. You are not righteous. This and that. They argued with him. He was in dust for all those months or weeks. Or I don't know how long this trial took on. But they were after him. At a point, Job caused the day he was born, caused the day he was conceived, caused the day that he was born into the civil world. His friends were not offering him comfort. Along the way, he probably developed anger. He developed bitterness. He developed frustration. He developed just something against his friends. But what did God say here in Job chapter 42 verse 10? The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Any Christian who bore unforgiveness is under captivity. I don't care what it is. An unbeliever once advised me. He said, yeah, definitely forgive the person. I was talking with the person about forgiveness. He threw more light into forgiveness. You don't have to go to lunch with that person or dance with that person. But you have to forgive the person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you may have to walk in wisdom from that time on to know who is your friend or who is not your friend. Forgiveness means letting go. Putting it in the hands of the Lord. Reaching out to say, I forgive you. Doing things to show the person that it is now behind us. But from that time, you may walk in wisdom regarding to that person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody went and said things wrong about you. Somebody went and gossip about you, contrary, and they brought shame and frustration and disappointment to you and your family. And the Lord said, forgive. You forgive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But from that time on, mind what you tell that person. Mind how you associate with that person. Let your walk now be paved in wisdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. Now, to overcome the how to get out of captivity, we are talking one is forgiveness. It's very important because I see that's where many Christians go into captive. Now, the scripture here, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In America here, there are so many things in the whole world that can take you captive in a moment. There is no decency anywhere again. Sin is handed to you everywhere. But the Bible says that you have to learn how to do what? Take your own thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, subject your own mind. Be able to filter your own mind. Be able to know when your mind is going astray. When sin is at the door knocking. When the enemy is trying to penetrate the hedge, you have to be able to discern this thing and immediately take that thought captive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you have to start shouting the blood of Jesus there, the blood of Jesus, whatever you want to do to take that thought captive, do it in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I once did it in a bus. I won't tell the whole story because it's kind of weird. But people didn't know why I was shouting the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, because they thought Satan was about to penetrate. And I have to find a way as a defense immediately. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whenever the enemy is coming, learn how to take your own thoughts. Know that this is the enemy knocking at the door. Anger is bitterness. Anger is captivity. Bitterness or quarreling. Anything that will open that hedge for the enemy to come in, know and take your thought immediately captive to the obedience of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I wrote here, don't allow your thoughts to go wild in the wrong direction. Will Satan come to buffet you and bring those thoughts around? Of course he will. That is his job. Satan will try to bring those thoughts. Satan will try to bring those ideas. Satan will try to bring those projections. Don't allow your thoughts to wander too far away before you pull it in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what I say. Don't allow your thought to go wild in the wrong direction. Fine-tune that radio to where you can hear and receive from Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The mind is like a radio out there. It can pick from different sources. So you need to fine-tune it to where it will be directed on the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. Isaiah 26 verse 3. We are coming to something that I believe will help you guys a lot, help all of us by God's grace. Another way to keep yourself from captivity is, you say, the Bible say here, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That is another way to keep yourself from captivity. Let your mind stay in the Lord. Not what the Republicans or the Democrats will do to the economy. Not what the Obama will do to the economy. Not what my husband has not done. Or what my wife did. Or what the pastor of the church. Or what this the person has. Let your mind stay in the Lord. That is how he will keep you in perfect peace. When your mind starts to wander,
to those things that does not profit, to those things that will not help you, the Bible says this is the way to keep yourself from captivity. It says, let your mind stay in the Lord, because you put your trust in God. Amen. Isaiah 52 verse 2. And this is a very important part I want to bring part about getting yourself out and not being in captivity. It says, shake thyself from the dust. Arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. It says, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you are in captivity and you now have captivity syndrome, that is part of the reason. If you read some of the people that are in captivity, like in the physical, they get to a point they do not struggle again. Happens to Christian also. What they are doing, they are no more fighting it. They do not fight it by prayer. They do not fight it by waiting on the Lord. They do not fight it by even recognizing that what I am doing is contrary to the will of God. Captivity syndrome. They become complacent. They admit it. I can't help it. I might as well live with it. No, you don't have to live with it. You are born to be free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, when they tie somebody up and the person continue to wiggle, after some time, no matter how tight the knot is, it starts to loosen up. But when some people are taken captive, their tormentors will beat them, will slap them, will put them in hunger, frustrate them, torture them to the point that after some time, they stop struggling. That is what happens in the spiritual to many Christians while we are still in captivity. When we start struggling, when we are, our conscience is no more torturing us when we do those things, when we make it like we've accepted the status quo, when we feel we leave it in the hands of the Lord. Yes, it's good to leave it in the hands of the Lord, but you have a part to do in delivering yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why it says here, deliver thyself, O captive daughter of Zion. Say, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. You have to do your own part. You have to continue to fight against those things that are not good for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Israel was taken captive for 400 years. The same people went into captivity and cried unto God for deliverance, and God delivered them at a point. They went out in the desert. And do you know that at a point, they even desired to go back to captivity again? That is like many of us. Dog returning to his own vomit. It is an evil thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If the Son of Man has set you free, you are free indeed. Amen. If God has set us free, then we should remain free indeed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Do not seek to return to those things that does not profit. It is the world. It is the flesh. When you were there, you know the torment of them. The despair that you get, the gloom, the destruction, the frustration. You enjoy it for maybe a night, and then next day you have a hangover. You do it and then you despair over it. Your money, your life is continually drained away one way or the other. And then the Lord delivers you. The Lord calls you to his peace that passeth all understanding. And you are free. And you enjoy that freedom. And then you desire to go back to those things again. The Lord says it's an abomination. It is like a dog returning back to his own vomit again. To what he has vomited, he went and licked it up again. Do not do that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 In captivity, there is no joy. Amen? In captivity, there is no peace. In captivity, there is no rest. Let us go to Psalm 137, verse 1 to 4. Psalm 137, verse 1 to 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 137. Quickly get it here. This is about the children of Israel. When they went into captivity, Nebuchadnezzar took them captive from their own land and walked them thousands or hundreds of miles to another destination. Then we start reading. Remember what I say here, no joy in captivity. So do not go back to it. Say, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Zion for them was freedom. Zion for them was peace. Zion for them was away from fear, no fear. Zion to them was having a life that is full with abundance, eating out of their own vineyard, going in and coming out, not having their children molested. That is what Zion was for them. Say, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our instrument of songs, harps, upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us captivity required of the song. And they that wasted, that is what captivity will do to you, is to waste you. Wasted us requires of us a might, saying, sing one of the songs of Zion. Then they correctly say something that is terrifying and at the same time true. Say, how shall we sing the long song in a strange land? Captivity is a strange land. When you are taken captive by your own devices or your own fault or that of the enemy, doesn't matter what, you cannot sing the song of the Lord in a strange land. You may carry on behaving as if everything is okay. You may dress fine and come to church as if all is well. You may go to your business and function and do things, but you know deep within you that there is no joy in this strange land where I am living. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They that took them captive, they say, when they have remembered Zion, he said that we cried because we remember Zion, and then we remember the days of peace and tranquility. It is no more there. And so we wait. And then we hang up our instrument of joy. Do you know the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength? When you are in captivity, there is no joy. When you are in captivity, there is no fulfillment. When you are in captivity, things, even your day, looks like darkness. But be of good cheer, he said, for this reason was the day star sent, even to give light to them that dwell in darkness. And that is Luke chapter 1, verse 78 to 79. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In our captivity, it is continuous darkness. So they said, correctly pointed out, say there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no fulfillment when we are in captivity because it is a strange land. Why do Christians have to live in a strange land when God has given us a home with himself? Captivity is an evil thing that many of us allow in our life. Captivity of sin, captivity of the flesh, captivity of the mind, captivity of the world, captivity of Satan. We seem to glorify those things that God abhors. What the world does is the world. You are, even though you live in this world, you do not belong in this world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? I say captivity of the mind, or being in a stranger, you are born to be free. It's a pit of darkness, but remember, he came to give you light. Because them that sit in darkness, he says in Luke chapters 1, 78 to 79, The Lord has given them that sit in darkness, He has given them light. Amen. Now, as we close, the joy of deliverance from captivity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We said just before that there is no joy in captivity. But when you are delivered from captivity, let's go to Psalm 126, verse 1 to 4. Amen. Psalm 126, verse 1 to 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. We give God the glory. He says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The other place, he says, there is no joy. He says, when we remembered Zion, we hung up our instrument of music. We couldn't sing. Because them that wasted us sing, start singing, start dancing. You guys know how to sing, to praise the Lord, to praise the Jah. Sing for us one of those songs of Zion. Say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But it says here that when the Lord has torn the captivity of Zion, blessed be the name of the Lord, we are like them that dream. Glory be to God. I say, glory be to God. I say, glory be to God. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. That's what will happen to you when you get out of this captivity. Doesn't matter what it is. See the advantage, see the disadvantage. You will be like you in a dream. Has it really happened to me, Emmanuel? I know things I've prayed and waited on the Lord and the enemy buckled and fought it every way for years. I know when the answer comes, how I feel, that moment, that single moment when deliverance came from the Lord. When there is an answer, when there is a redemption, he said, we are like them that are in a dream. Amen? Yeah. Then, you start laughing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The laughter that was no more there started bubbling up in you. He said, there our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. They that say among the hidden, then said they among the hidden, the Lord had done great things for them. Glory be to God. When you are out of captivity, men will see it in you. When you see it in the circle of even sinners, they will know that there is a difference between this person and myself when you are not in captivity. But when you are in a captivity, you assimilate, you fit in. You become their body bodies, their friends. But when you are not in captivity and you are free by the grace of God, he say, even those ones who don't understand will say, yeah, the Lord has done great things for them. In 126, they were mourning. They were crying. They couldn't sing. They couldn't shout. They couldn't be at peace. But the day that the Lord delivered them out of captivity, they said, here, blessed be the name of the Lord. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the hidden, the Lord has done great things for them. As we stand on our feet this morning, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know what captivity the enemy has put around your neck. Captivity, like we said in the beginning, is a state of being captured, a state of being imprisoned, detained, or held against your own will. Now, I want you to think your will. God has even given you a free will. It is up to you to decide if you want to get out of captivity or not. Like he said in Isaiah 52:2, he says, shake yourself, O captive daughters of Zion. Do not take it that it's okay. Do not assume that captivity is okay. Do not become complacent to the point that, okay, I will live with it. If you are not free, you are not free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you are free, be free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, it says, be free indeed. That is complete freedom. That is freedom from yoke or bondage of the enemy. At times we go into captivity due to lack of knowledge. At times we go into captivity because we do not see the total picture. But today there is grace in the name of Jesus Christ. There is grace to deliver from captivity from the Lord. No matter what yoke the enemy has put around your neck, know that the Lord is able to deliver in the name of Jesus. Like I admonished us in the beginning of this message, there is a hedge around you that has broken. Repairing it is quite easy and automatic. You have to repent. You have to turn around. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the Lord will turn around your captivity also. If it is unforgiveness that you have in this midst of the brethren this morning, I will ask you to consider. Is it worth it? Holding the grudge, buttoning up that bitterness, is it worth it? No, it can never be worth it. You have to let go in Jesus' name. If it is fear that the enemy has used to torment you, all you have to do is to get back into that circle of protection under the hedge of the Lord. It doesn't matter fear what it is. I was with a lady a few days ago, went to visit, and was telling us he used to fear. He so feared so much, and she started thinking about it. I was just 2-3 days ago, went with my wife to visit somebody. And so she's so much afraid, that she will jump up and she will run around and she will shout, and she's not a kid, and she will run to the door. And then she will panic, and just because she's afraid of death. She was talking it, I was laughing, I didn't say much because I know what is going on. This is fear of life. What have you to fear about your life when God is in control? Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is what captivity does us. Captivity practically drives you insane. So, but remember that there is joy if you are delivered from captivity. And there is no joy if you are in captivity. So this mind, I want every one of us to take a moment to pray for yourself. Say for yourself. Take a moment to remind God his word. If there is any form of captivity in your mind, your body, your spirit, if it's something you have introduced, a burden that is laid upon you, if God has allowed it, do ask God for grace to bear that burden. But if it is a sin or things you have brought into your life, you can be delivered in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is able to do the same thing. He did it before, he can do it again. It is the same Jesus. Say, when the Lord shall turn the captivity of Zion, say, we are like them that dream. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Now Jesus, do great things for your people this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.